Always Woolen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazz Amaja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mickendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, T. Hamill, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Jared Gibbs, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we have another mailbag episode this week, guys. Mailbag number 4. And I have two special guests with me to read the mail. We have
Lance Laster,
Nick Ryan Magdoza,
and Zach Moore, your host. So it's the three of us, and we're all in the same room this time. A little behind-the-scenes story. These guys just helped me move my 600-pound, 35-inch Sony CRT television.
I didn't know it was a CRT at all. I thought it was a flat screen or something, and I came.
I don't know if I mentioned my Laserdisc collection on the show before, but that's a big reason I had that thing, N64, standard definition stuff. So, yeah, that has been not repaired for a long time. I finally got it repaired, and then I had to get it back to my place. And so, you know. These guys helped me out, so shout out to these guys. But enough about me. On to you, the listeners. So we do a mailbag between seasons usually. This math works out pretty well. It's the end of the fourth season. We're doing the fourth mailbag. I think the first one I did like in between. Oh, that's what I did. That's what I did. Between 3 and 4, I just went straight through. I did a mailbag between season 3 and 4, or did I?
I remember doing a mailbag with you. Was it season 3? I don't remember now.
We do so many podcasts, guys. You guys are probably looking at the list, saying these idiots don't even know what they recorded. But so you know, sometimes we'll do one in between. I think in between the big middle of season 2, we did our first mailbag. I think that's what we did. Because Lance, have you done a mailbag with me?
I've done one.
Okay, and Nick, you've done the other ones, I think?
Yeah, I think I've done 2, yeah.
All right, so here we are all together now. All together now. Dun, dun. What is that from?
That's from those old Sprint commercials, I believe.
It's like an Android commercial, better. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. When we went to San Diego and hang out with Jeremy Joseph, it was everywhere we went, and we all started singing it anyway. Inside joke there. You know Jeremy Joseph, right? All right, anyway. Moving on. All you listeners really care about my personal life. I'm glad to know. So, mailbag number 4. We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from. Blue's Clues. Are they making a Blue's Clues movie? They just made a Dora the Explorer movie. Which, by the way, the college humor skit they did like 5 years ago, it is the movie, right?
Yeah, it looks the same, but the new one is going to be very... It's really interesting. I'm actually really surprised they have like a monkey on it too.
Well, his name is Boots because he wears boots. He doesn't wear boots in the movie. It doesn't make any sense. Although my favorite,
I just realized he doesn't wear boots in the trailer. What?
And my favorite part of the college humor skit was when she's like, she opens the backpack and he's like, "Hola, Dora, what do you need?" He's like, "Oh, a miracle to start or something." Anyway, I can't support a Dora the Explorer movie, but I would go see a Blue's Clues movie. Where's a Clifford the Big Red Dog movie? Clifford v. Blue, Dawn of Justice. That's what we need. But anyway, so we have, moving on, we have Bark of Justice. I don't know if you guys heard that. So moving on, we got some mail. So thank you guys so much for your feedback. Sometimes I reply to them in the format you send them to me. Sometimes I don't. I save them for the show. So you were not. I assure you, even if we don't read every message and email here, every letter and note is read and appreciated. So so we have a good chunk of what we received over the last few months here on Always Sold in the Smallville, and we're just gonna read through them like we usually do. Read through them, share some comments about them. We have three people this time, so we might have a little more back and forth. We'll see. But I'm going to start us out with our friend Corey Moore, our number one fan, as I say. And he says, thankful on Thanksgiving. So that tells you when he sent this email. He says, hey, Zach, y'all know Smallville is my favorite TV show. With that said, and this being the time of the season to be thankful, I'm thankful for Smallville's worst episodes. And then he lists his bottom 10 episodes, kind of tying into when we did the top 10. Actually, he sent this before we did that. So very... very Nostradamus of you, Corey. So let's go down the list of Corey's bottom 10 episodes. And I assume 10 to 1 means 1 is the worst. And that's the way he listed it here. Number 10, Upgrade. And he puts a little summary here so you guys can remember, because this is helpful to me, because especially these last, you know, 3-4 seasons, I'm like, what episode was that? So I'm going to read his title and then his short description. Number 10, Upgrade. Clark and Hill, some Red K when fighting with Metallo. Clark and Zod let loose. Number 9, Metallo. John Corbin is hit by a car, turned into a cyborg by some doctors with a kryptonite heart. I like Brian Austin Green, just not his heavy nose huffing and puffing while Metallo. I was going to say, that's two Metallo episodes are in his bottom 10, so not a fan of Metallo, are you, Corey? Number 8, Kinetic. Tattoo Bros, that is... still one of the worst episodes of the show. I'm right there with you. Number 7, Hero. Poor Pete gets stretchy powers from gum. Product placement Pete galore. Absolutely a horrible episode. Number 6, Sleeper. Department of Domestic Security is using Jimmy to find info on Chloe's computer hacking. Absolutely. That was just a nothing episode, like a James Bond Jr. ripoff. And it was after the writer's strike. They came back in season 7, and there was a lot of filler in there. Number 5, Noir. Lana shot at the Daily Planet. Jimmy solves the crime while knocked out in black and white. Again, I agree. That was like the second to last or third to last episode of season 6. That is not the time for that foolishness. It's like that's some silly fluff episode. And then he says, asterisk, it's about to get real. Number 4, Ageless. A meteor freak baby is rapidly aging. Lana and Clark help raise him. Yes, that was not a good episode. Number 3, Magnetic. A classmate acquires magnetic powers and uses them on Lana to date her. Not a great episode, but yeah, that was pretty bad. Number 2, Redux. A cheerleader who wants to stay young. Absolutely, that was a terrible episode. And he says another asterisk, and the winner is, sorry, don't hate me, Smallville peeps, Resurrection. A Smallville classmate's brother needs a liver transplant. Jonathan has open heart surgery. Bomb in the hospital. I mean, Resurrection was okay, but I don't think that's the worst episode of the show. I mean, I don't see Doomsday on here. I don't see Requiem on here or Power, which I believe is the one where Lana gets the Prometheus suit, kryptonite skin implant things. So what are your thoughts on this bottom 10 list?
Well, I mean, I think that the other 9 he mentioned before Resurrection are worse than Resurrection, but... this is Corey's list, so we got to respect that it's his list.
Yeah, and some of these episodes I don't remember, but just it's interesting because just listening, just reading the actual summary you have here, I would actually be kind of interested in seeing this episode probably just how it pans out probably doesn't sound as great as it is on paper.
Keep listening, Nick. We'll tell you all about him here on Always on Smallville. So as always, thank you, Corey, and let's move on to the next email, Lance.
All right, so our next email is from Rebecca McDonald. Hello, Zach. Thanks for answering my question on your most recent mailbag episode. I also wanted to pass this along. This past weekend, my sister and I took a road trip, and I downloaded a few episodes of the podcast to listen to on the drive. She's watching Smallville through for the first time, so I'm getting her started on the podcast as well. Good choice. She specifically requested, quote, make sure you download episodes where Lance is the guest host. They're the best ones, unquote. Well, I appreciate that. Thank y'all. So shout out to Lance. But I enjoy all of your guests, so no disrespect to any of the others.
You haven't been on a real episode in like two seasons, Nick.
I've been on fresh episodes.
He's been, yes, yes. Hey, hey, all credit to Nick. When I first started this podcast, Nick was part of the core. I think he did about five or six episodes in season one. So anyway, let's continue with the email.
Anyway, my real reason for this email is a thought I had recently. What if Always Hold On to Smallville did a crossover episode with the X-Cast, where you discuss all the episodes of Smallville that borrowed key plot concepts from episodes of the X-Files? You could discuss which show did a better job of presenting each concept, or something along those lines. I don't know how much crossover there is between Smallville fans and X-Files fans, so maybe it would be only actually be enjoyable for me. But you never know. Haha. I started a list of episodes below, but I'm newer to the X-Files, so I'm sure I've probably missed a bunch. Let me know what you think. So she has here Hothead equals fire, X-Ray slash Visage equals small potatoes, Hourglass slash Hereafter equals Clyde, Bruckman's final episode, Craving equals hungry, Stray and Ryan equals the end and the beginning within and without. Skinwalker equals shapes. Thirst equals bad blood. Reckoning corresponds with Monday. Wither to... I'm going to butcher that word. Shizogeny. Yeah. Okay. And then Rabbit equals Millennium. Thanks for keeping the podcast going. I'm looking forward to the infamous season four. Take care, Rebecca McDonald.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. I will say I like season four more than I thought I would. All right, so we got through that all together, right? That's a good list. That's for your X-Files compare contrast, and there is a lot of crossover because of the Canadian connections, a lot of actors and whatnot up there. But yeah, other than Craving and Hungry, I mean that seems to correlate. I don't remember that episode of the X-Files, but all these other ones, I 100% agree and see what you're saying with how they correlate. I mean, some of them are like. Monster of the Week is basically has the same ability, and that's what you're going for there. So that's a good list there. So thanks, Rebecca, and thanks for spreading the word about the podcast to your friends, family, and thanks for giving Lance the shout out you give him. So unsolicited.
It's true. That was unsolicited, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So Nick, why don't you take us away with the next email?
All right. So our next email we have from Emma Morris. She says, "Hello, hey Zach and company. Oh, company's us. Okay, awesome." I am from Canada, but now I live in Kobe, Japan. I am a huge fan of the podcast, and I'm always excited for a fresh episode! Yes! Smallville is my favorite show of all time, and it's amazing to hear other people discuss it. I watch the show probably once a year the whole way through, but I have never met anyone who actually watched or and liked Smallville, except briefly at a convention, so I had never had the chance to talk about it with anyone. So I was so happy when I saw your podcast because I could actually hear the conversations that I wish I had had. My Smallville story is a bit different from yours and the other people on the podcast. I guess it's because I'm a bit younger than you and your guests. I started watching the show during season 5. I was in grade 5 at the time. Yes, I am younger than you. I vividly remember watching the first watching the episode Fragile, the one with the girl named Maddie who can break glass. From then, when I watched week after week, I watched seasons 5, 6, and 7 on cable TV. While I was watching the new episodes, YTV, the kids' youth channel here in Canada, was playing old episodes of Smallville, seasons 1, 2, and 3. Unfortunately, they would play really late, so I would have to program my VCR and get a blank tape and record the episodes of Smallville. Hey, this is how I watch Smallville, through you guys. Then I would watch it the next day. During this time, I also bought the VHS tape that had the first two episodes on it. I think you talked about it on one of your first episodes of the podcast. I still have that VHS tape, and I have watched it so many times. It kind of makes the first two episodes into a small film. Instead of playing the credits at the end of episode 1, you see Lana walk into her house and go to her room, where she opens up the box of butterflies. Also, I know that you hate season 4. It is not my favorite season either, but I probably watched it the most out of all the seasons. This is because the first season I ever got on DVD. Since I started watching the show in season 5, I wanted to know what happened before that, so I asked for season 4 on Christmas for 1 year. I did not get another season of Smallville for a long time after that, so I watched and rewatched season 4 many times. Also, I had not watched all of season 3 before this, so I was always confused about the beginning of season 4. Why is Chloe dead? Why are Clark and Lex not friends? Why did Lana and Clark not work out? I had many questions. Then season 8 was going to premiere on TV, and I was so excited because season 7 ended with a big cliffhanger. Unfortunately, season 8 was not playing on any Canadian channels that we had. It was very frustrating, and I waited until Christmas the next year when I got season 8 on DVD. The same thing happened with season 9, and I waited a year to get the DVDs. Fortunately, season 10 played on Canadian channel that we had access to, and it was on Friday nights at 8. I still remember staying at home on Friday nights, watching Smallville alone in my basement, telling no one to disturb me. It was a great time. I got the DVDs for season 10 the next Christmas, and it came with a Smallville t-shirt that I still have and wear. I eventually got all the seasons on DVD, and I finally understood everything that happened at the beginning of season 4. It all made sense. Well, some of it. I am always so jealous when you talk about your convention stories, but I love hearing them, so don't stop. I went to a convention in 2017 in Toronto called Fan Expo, and I got to meet Kristen Crook. She actually lives in Toronto, and she was there promoting a video game that she does a voice for called the Shenyun Saga. No, I was trying. I forgot to look it up. But yeah, Shenyun Saga. I might have to look into that. Even though Lana is my least favorite character, I was really happy to meet someone from Smallville.
Did you tell her that Lana was your least favorite character? Well, like when I met Robert Picardo, who is the Doctor on Voyager, but also is Edward Teague in season 7. Mm-hmm. I told him said, Voyager is my least favorite Star Trek show, but you're my favorite character on it. So anyway, that just made me think of that.
She goes on to saying that she was really nice and I got a picture with her. I could not really speak because I was so nervous and starstruck, but when she saw my Smallville shirt, she gave me a hug. I'm sad that I can't go to all those conventions in America where Tom and Michael go to. It sounds like they are really cool to the fans and have a lot of fun. Living in Canada and traveling there would be hard enough, but now I live in Japan, so it's a bit harder. But I love hearing your stories about meeting them and going to conventions. Also, I traveled to Vancouver last January and visited many Smallville filming locations. This includes the Luther Corp building, the Daily Planet, and I took the long journey that included a ferry ride and a few buses to the Luther Mansion. My non-Smallville fan friend who is from Vancouver was nice enough to come with me and take pictures. I must have looked very strange taking pictures in front of a street corner or a lamppost, but if it was in Smallville, I had to. I'm so sorry for the long email. I just wanted to share my Smallville story with other Smallville fans. I just wanted to let you know how awesome this podcast is, since it lets me listen to the conversations I never got to have when I was watching the show. Thank you so much for doing what you guys do. It's truly super. Again, sorry for the long email. Emma.
Nothing to apologize there for, Emma. That's a really great, some really great stories you have there. And hey, if you want to share the pictures with us, let us know. Send us an email. A lot of people send in pictures of this mailbag. I posted a photo album for Mailbag 3, and I'll do the same for Mailbag 4. And if you want to send those in after you hear this, I'll add those because I know some people already have some that I'll have a photo for too. I definitely do want to do the Smallville pilgrimage one day. Maybe get a small group of us together. That'd be a lot of fun. So that's definitely maybe when the podcast is over in 2038.
I was like, when will it be over?
So yes, do the math. I'm not sure when it'll be over, but I'm thinking, what are we doing now? What are we looking at? What are we looking at here? We're looking at 2019, and I have 6 more to go. And if I do 2 a year, that's 3 years. So I'll be done in 2021, 2022. So
yeah, but we gotta factor in like this, the natural life buffers and stuff that happens. So I'm probably saying like mid 2023 is when we'll be done.
We're done by the crisis on Infinite Earths at 2024, right? According to The Flash, but that seems to have changed. That's moved up a few years, right?
Damn it, Barry.
Yeah. Anyway, messing with the timeline again. Well, thank you, Emma, for that email. And so moving on to our next email, Corey Moore sends me an email about Crusade. And this is in response to Corey sends a lot of emails. Corey usually sends me an email for every episode with some feedback. But Crusade, he had a pretty in-depth email here, so I wanted to read the whole thing here. He says, Zach, I'm super excited your season 4 coverage has begun. Now, y'all know season 4 is my favorite season, so you're probably thinking I'm going to be singing the praises of Crusade at the start of the season. Well, you're right, although I do have some nitpicks. Number 1, Clark and Lana showing a little too much skin. Call me a prude, but we don't need this in our perfect little Smallville world. I agree, as you have heard me comment on many times in the podcast, Corey. Number 2, some of the characters' dialogue was forced and was basically to tell us quickly what's going on. Jason T. talking to Lana in Vancouver, Paris, and Lex talking to Lionel about the three relics hidden around the world, etc. Number three, and Lois. Just kidding. Eric Durance was great. She's no Kristen Kirk, but that's okay. Now he moves on to his praise. Number one, speaking of Lana, so the majority of peeps seem to not like her going to Paris. But I do. She needed to get out of Smallville and try something different. Up till then, the show never established that Lana liked art, but that's okay. High schoolers are impulsive. Good reaction from the guys here about that. High schoolers are impulsive and change their minds weekly on what they want to do. And Lana did that at the end of season three. Quote, I'm going to the Paris Art Institute, unquote. And the show found something exciting for her character to do. For example, art rubbing and getting a tattoo, being possessed by a witch. Awesome. You know, you're probably being serious there, Corey, but it sounds like if I were to write that, it would be sarcastic. So, because this is doing your praise. Number two, my side notes say Martha was great in this episode, highlighting by her beating Kal-El with the back of her fist before he flies off. I want my son back. I need my son back. Nice performance by Annette. She often gets overlooked in the series, but she's wonderful in my book. Number three, Lionel doing push-ups and looking like a CrossFit trainer was tremendous. Shredded and ripped. Definitely John Glover. The best shape of any actor on that show, absolutely. Number four, Erica Durance injected the show with some nice energy and attitude. I liked how her and Clark annoy each other. Number five, a big fan of the Stones. I'm not talking about the Rolling Stones. The Smallville Stones. Three relics hidden around the world. Let's let the hunting begin. I don't agree with you on that, Corey, but you know that. Number six, and lastly, flight. I still get the feels every time I see the camera rotate around Kal-El squatting down and taking off like a rocket. Poor Martha. Hope she's okay. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the one thing. They're like, this is amazing. Superman's first flight. And he's knocking his mom over with his, like, Matrix afterwash or whatever, or backdraft. But, yeah, the flying was never better than it was in Crusade. I'll tell you that. And the whole show. Finally, he says, Crusade gets an A- in my book. And exciting stuff starts here. Up, up, and away. So, thank you, Corey. For that in-depth email about your love for Crusade.
All right, cool. So our next email is from Kendra Barton. She says, love the podcast. Zach, I recently found your podcast and have been listening to it at work. My sister recently introduced me to Smallville, and I remember making fun of her for watching it back when we were in high school. Yeah, people made fun of us too when we were watching it. So the show's still on? We get that question so many times.
For years.
Anyway, now that I have given it a fair chance, I love it. See? My first full episode was Heat, and I immediately fell in love with Rosenbaum's Lex Luthor. I love hearing you and your various guests talk about the various episodes and the characters, including the deeper discussions that are brought up depending upon the episode, and a lot of your complaints, while I agree, I find myself defending in my own head, such as the Helen situation. Thank you for doing this podcast and really introducing me to the larger Superman mythos. I'd love to talk theory with you, theory and my thoughts on Helen with you, but I figure it will never happen. Keep on doing the great work. Kendra B.
Well, thanks for that email, Kendra. So, yeah, you know, email in your thoughts on Helen, and we can discuss. I think with Helen, ultimately, they didn't know what they were doing with that character. I believe they're going to kill her off, and they decided not to. And then they said, oh, well, if we don't kill her off, we got to get rid of her somehow. Let's make her evil. Like, I like Phoenix. I really do like Exile and Phoenix. They're a couple of my favorite episodes. And I like how Lex plays her trying to play him. That's a great Lex Luthor moment and scene. But, yeah, what a waste of a character, because that was a character who was meant to build up Lex's character. Like, he built all these emotional walls and he, like, trusted somebody, you know, and that was all for naught. So it's like, if she was conning him the whole time, why would she teach him these life lessons? So clearly that's a character that they just made a plot twist out of left field with just to get rid of. And that is unfortunate. So anyway, let's move on to the next email, Nick.
All right. Our next one comes from Jason Huston. Hello, brother. Brother. Hi, Zach. My name is Jason. I just want to drop a line and tell you that I'm really liking the podcast. I'm only 14 episodes in and just finished your synopsis of the episode Leech. Leech is my favorite in 10 seasons of Smallville. There is a lot of good things about the show, one being that Barry Allen premiere. Clark catches him for stealing something and in turn he tracks down and confronts him. Clark goes through Barry's several fake IDs and scoffs at the stupid names in his IDs, Wally West and Jay Garrick. Another favorite part is the fabulous use of the brand new song Daisy over a montage of Oliver Queen feeling sorry for himself. I grew up with the animated series of Superman from the 90s, and that caused me to watch everything I could get my hands on Superman. I would tell people I like Superman because he is an outsider like me. He felt alone much of his life, loves people, and used his amazing powers to save those people. But he's also an alien and adopted. In the episode Leech, this normal kid just gets those powers. I always thought that was cool, and he does what we would want to do with those powers. That is why it's my favorite episode. Also, the ideas Clark being powerless and feeling powerless really spoke to me. Eric Summers was just angry and vengeful, and that didn't. You gotta have control and do the right thing always. That's why Superman is my favorite. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait to hear what you got next for me.
Thanks, Jason. I also do love Leech. Now, Leech, you know, I think I've said this before at some point on the podcast. If there were a couple episodes that, like, I loved watching the show, and I was like, yeah, these are my favorite episodes. And I rewatched them, like, these aren't as good as I remember. Leech and Visage were, like, those are two of my favorite episodes of the show. And they're still enjoyable, but I just didn't love them as much. But I do love, and I know I've mentioned this many times, I love the last exchange between Clark and Eric there. He's like, come on, Clark, if you had all the power in the world, what would you do? And he's like, I would stop people like you. And that's what Superman's all about. Like, he really would do that. And that's what separates him from, you know, all these other meteor freaks he encounters with this power. Because, again, Superman's not about the power. It's what he chooses to do with the power. So, absolutely. Like, that Leech is a great, just young Superman life lesson story. Even though it didn't, I think I get like a B plus or a B or something. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's not the A episode I thought it was back when I was watching it. It still is a really excellent episode with a good message about what Superman's all about. Absolutely. So moving on to our next message from Alex Huey. He says, his email says podcast. Hey, Zach, big fan of the podcast. Can't wait for you to review the later seasons as they're my favorite, minus season 7. Smart man, Alex. This is largely because of the superheroes that pop up throughout. I wanted to start a podcast like Always Hold on the Smallville, but about Gotham. I was just wondering if you could tell me how to set up a podcast on the podcast app, as well as any tips you might have. Thanks again, and always hold on to Smallville. Now, as I did respond to your email just through the email a few wise <years back. laughs> through the internet, but I did want to read your notes about season 7 and whatnot there. So Gotham, man, hey man, if you enjoy Gotham, more power to you. I know that we've had some snide comments about Gotham in the past year on Smallville. So hey, if you did or do end up starting that podcast, let us know. We'll give you a shout out. About always going to Gotham there, absolutely the later seasons of Smallville are very different than the first seasons. The first ones are really about young Superman. The last few seasons are basically like Superman Year Zero plus the Justice League, you know, just being around. Especially like Oliver Queen becomes a main character and all that. So I totally see what you're saying there. So thanks for that message, Alex. And yeah, again, let us know if you end up starting that podcast. We'll give you a shout out.
All right, our next email is from Brent Laney. He says, I'm sure people write all the time raving about the podcast, so let me join the bandwagon. I started listening about a month ago, and I'm nearly caught up. I listen to it on my walk to and from work and when I'm playing video games. I'm a few years older than you guys. I was in college when it started. I watched random episodes when I had the chance, but didn't totally follow it, although I was a fan. I moved around a bit and lost track of it before getting back into it around 2004-05 when I started buying the seasons on DVD. I've binge watched the series several times over the years, and listening to you guys talk about it makes me want to go through it again. I owned a video store for several years and turned people onto the show whenever I could. I love the extra details you bring up. I feel like we would all have been friends. I love X-Files and The Flash. I'm addicted to comic book movies and shows in general. Least favorite storylines on the series, Veritas and the whole Lana Witch thing. Right
season
there.
Season 4 and season 7. There it is, guys.
I love the tally board, and I'm listening to the stretch of episodes based on the movies. Has anyone in your group talked about the episodes that directly mirror Buffy episodes? There are several. Anyway, I just wanted to say great job, and I really look forward to hearing the breakdowns of season 4. If you ever need a co-host sometime, I'd be down.
Thanks, Brent. And, you know, speaking of a video store, one of the most disappointing movies I've ever seen in my life, and Lance, you know, we saw this together, was Be Kind Rewind. I thought this is going to be, I saw this trailer, I'm like, this is going to be a great movie about like Jack Black and Most Def, okay, whatever. But I'm like, they're going to be running a video store, and it's going to be like the late 90s, and it's going to be like DVDs are coming in, they got to be creative. But no, it was, they accidentally erase tapes, and they have to replace them, and it's set now, and it was just so disappointing, and Sigourney Weaver shows up, it's what a disappointment.
Yeah, I was actually working at Hollywood Video when that movie came out, and I got really excited. It's like, oh, this is going to be something about us. And I watched it. It's like, oh, no, they're just sweeting movies. While some of them was funny, it just got really, really, like, not emotional. It just got really real toward the end of the movie, which I was not expecting from those two actors.
Yeah, and, like, that did not have the story for a movie. That could have been, like, an episode of Community, but not, like, a movie, right? But as for some of your other points here, I agree. Veritas and then The Lana Witch, The Stones of Power, not good. Not good stories. And as for Buffy, you know, I never watched Buffy, but I know one of our frequent guests, Matt Latham, he's a big Buffy fan. I do know a few episodes are a lot like Buffy, especially the one where Clark's as Labyrinth, where Clark's in the asylum. It's like, you're being crazy the whole time, Clark. I mean, it's a very common trope in a lot of sci-fi shows. Star Trek does it a lot, but I know Buffy did a episode exactly like that. Unfortunately, there was no Smallville musical, which they had on Buffy. But hey, you know, if you guys remember the Patreon, we might talk about a potential Smallville musical at some point. So stay tuned for that. So why don't you take it away with the next email, Lance? I mean, Nick, whoever you are.
All right, this one's from Dean Anderson. This one's entitled Hourglass. Hey, just started your podcast, really enjoying it. I know this is an old episode for you, but it's new to me. I just finished Hourglass, and you said you didn't know where the electricity came from when he fell into the water. If you look closely, you'll see when he falls out of the wheelchair, there's Christmas lights that were on the deck that fell in with him. Thank you. Love the show. Can't wait to catch up. Dean.
Well, thanks, Dean. I did not notice that, obviously, when I was watching the podcast. So that's a very dangerous setup they have over there at a retirement home. Come on, people. That's where's your standards and practices? You need to take a look at those lights there. But again, I question electricity plus kryptonite equals de-aging, because it also equals transferring powers and other things as well. So that was one of the more ridiculous, ludicrous kryptonite powers, Monster of the Week. So there you go. So moving on, Cody Thomas sends an email. He says, great podcast. He says, hey, just started watching Smallville last month and was very excited to find your podcast. Almost done with season 2. So going to be disappointed when get caught up with your episodes. Podcast is great and feels nice to hear someone chat about a show I really like, since don't really have others that have watched it. Thanks for putting this out there, and keep up the great work. Well, thanks, Cody. I'm definitely sure you're blown past us now, and you're listening. So you're back to week-to-week watching, or listening, I should say. But yeah, thanks for listening, and yeah, feel free to send us an email anytime.
All right, so next up is, I believe this is an iTunes review. Cool. It's a 5-star review, so we appreciate those here. I'm sure Zach really appreciates it. It says, love this show. Great show. Love the host. I do wish they would not spoil. However, I do wish they would not spoil future seasons so much. But we are way past the point where I have the right to complain. Keep up the good work.
What do you think about
that? I think he's right. Like, we're past the point where where people should complain about it.
All right, for me, I haven't seen some of the seasons, and I guess it'd be better if I didn't know it, but I don't think it really will change if the episode's good or not, though.
Well, see, first of all, I don't think it's going to change. But number two, it's an old show, right? And first and foremost, this is a retrospective podcast, so the things we talk about all kind of like revolve around everything that we know about it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I often question how I do that and make fun of myself. Like, I have to mention the finale or season 8 or Doomsday or whatever, right? And every single episode of the show. And you know, there's a couple of approaches. There's some people I know that do Star Trek podcasts where they act like, all right, well, I wonder what's going to happen next week, like trying to like watch it as it was new or if you didn't know what was coming. But you know, part of this is trying to put all the pieces together, like Veritas season 4, season 7, all that stuff. And if you don't do that, you can't, if you don't talk about the future, you can't like try to piece it together, because then all the early episodes would be like really short. And then all the, like, you get to season 10, they'd be like 4 hours long. Hey, remember the part where this happened in season 2? Did that make sense? So anyway, it's a struggle there, as to figuring out, you know, what that balance is. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to spoil this. Every now and then I do that, but thanks for appreciating the position that I'm in with that kind of thing.
All right, this next one is from Tyler. He says in his letter, email, non-traditional Smallville fan. Hola! I'm the fan that did the ranking of every episode in Reddit a few years ago. I've only recently been getting into the older podcast episodes as I resurrected my Zune. Yep, a Zune. I still have my Zune. I don't know if it still works because I lost a charger, but I still have mine. And I've been knocking out a few lately, daily, and I've been really liking them. I'm totally a non-traditional Smallville fan, as I'm not a superhero or comic book fan at all. I do love Star Trek, though, so all the references you make to that are well appreciated. I got into the show because a friend in high school was really into Tom Wellington, and Wellington. I must still be hungry from dinner. Really into Tom Wellington. I'm not going to look at this now. And she talked about the show all the time. So I eventually got curious enough to check it out. Needless to say, I got hooked. I owned all 10 seasons on DVD, and I've seen every episode at least twice. 99% of what I learned about Superman is from Smallville, but I never got into superheroes or comic books after watching the show either. Anyway, I know you probably get offers all the time, but if you ever wanted a guest on the podcast who probably has a vastly different take on the show and characters, I'd be interested. I've already realized how differently we view the episodes and character development, but I really find it interesting. And Tyler posts a Reddit link here so we can check it out. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, so for all of you who want to type it into your web browser here, I'm gonna read it out. All right, this is his list. He ranked every episode on Reddit. So it's www.reddit.com/r/smallville/comments/5415gm/every_episode_of_smallville_ranked/. Now, Nick and Lance are laughing at me here, but I think the listeners might be interested in his link, and it's the fastest way to share it is by reading it out.
So not like, you know, posting it on the various social media platforms of the podcast?
Yeah, we won't be doing that, no. yes, I will post it as well. But for those of you who are driving the car, maybe, you know, you're listening, you're not at your computer, you can type that in.
Please pull over if you're going to do that. I'm saying that for the sake of the show and for Zach over here.
All right. So thanks, Tyler. Truth be told, I haven't read down your list, but when I have some downtime here, I'll read your down list. I don't know what is a Zune. This was it like an iPod before an iPod? Will you explain this to the listeners and to myself?
All right. So the Zune is basically Microsoft's version of the iPod. It was actually really slick looking. It had a color screen before the iPod did. And then when the iPod video came out, they came out with their own video, and I actually liked it a little bit more just because it was Microsoft and you could do other stuff with it as well. But eventually, the iPod took off.
Isn't the Zune, isn't that what Peter Quill got in Guardians 2?
I believe so, yes. I think I remember yelling at the screen, like, oh, I still got mine.
All right, see, I thought I'm talking about outdated technology, that Laserdisc. So you're talking about Zunes. Anyway, moving on to another five-star iTunes review from Robert Nash 30. So thank you, Robert. He says, nobody needs to save me from this podcast. Well said. His message is, loved Smallville. Well, his iTunes review is, loved Smallville during its original run. Bought all the seasons on DVD, but haven't watched it through since it went off the air. My kids recently asked to watch them, which got me hooked again. Decided to find a podcast to listen to alongside. And this is by far the best. Good quality, funny commentary, and interesting facts and behind-the-scenes story. So thanks, Robert. I agree.
I concur as well.
All right. Awesome. So the next thing we have here is an email from Pete Lindenberg. It says, hey, Zach, love the show. Just wanted to mention a potential miss on the tally board this week. The episode was Spell. When Clark finds Lex playing the piano, he has to use his super strength to move the piano, which Lex clearly sees happen. I'm wondering if that should count as amnesia, since that would set off a huge red flag for Lex if he remembered. I'll let you make the final decision, but I thought I should bring that to your attention. Looking forward to the next episode. Yeah, I think that should probably count as amnesia.
I'd have to say it too, because it took three of us to lift up this dang TV into this apartment, let alone moving a piano.
That's true, and we will always remember that.
always hold on to that. It's not amnesia because he just, you know, he was in a trance. So, I mean, he was, you know, that's why it didn't really occur to him. He was playing and playing and playing. I see what you guys are saying, but I'm going to say it's not. So, as you said, I will make the final decision, Pete. So, thank you. Not today, Pete. anyway.
All right, this one is another iTunes review from Section 33.1. iTunes rating was a 5 stars. Highly addictive, exceedingly creative, and incredibly welcoming. Zach is equal parts a charismatic and entertaining host and a welcoming presence into a niche but loyal and dedicated fandom. His enthusiasm and humor is woven into his know-how and expertise of the series, matched with a great array of guests that add all their unique spin and perspective of the series, which allow every detail of the show a chance to shine. Highly recommend. Wow. We oh my gosh.
You know, like, well, first of all, thank you for this review. Yes. However, speaking as Zach's best friend here, I'm going to get real with y'all. This is probably like the last thing that he needs to hear is stuff like this.
I think that is a brilliant review. I give that review 5 stars myself. So if you ever want to be on the podcast, 33.1, let me know. This is an iTunes review, so I don't know what the real name is, but yes, that is, I completely agree with your assessment of myself. So anyway. It's like that. It's like the Star Trek episode of Futurama where they're on the planet, and Leonard Nimoy's like, "I got such a great performance out of Bill because I respected him so much in Star Trek 4," and William Shatner says, "And I got such a great performance out of me because I respected me so much in Star Trek 5." So anyway, again, thanks for that review. So another iTunes review, another 5-star review by Chris Hoover 2122. He says, "Love the show." And here's his review. Kind of like how I picked up Smallville when it first aired, I am years late to this podcast. I originally bought season 1 of Smallville on DVD when season 8 was airing. I had never seen an episode before. I love the show and consumed the rest of the seasons as fast as I could. I'm currently in my third watch. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, but I was about to say Mortal Kombat to that.
Yeah, that was a little. Yeah. Third Watch was a cop show on NBC, like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, before everything had to be a connected universe. And it was, I'm sure, when are they going to fold that into the Chicago PD Law and Order universe?
I'm looking forward to it. I watch them every week.
Anyway, Doc from Third Watch was Black Manta's dad. Yeah. And Aquaman.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Aquaman. So, anyway, got a little off track there. I'm currently in my third watch. Through of the show. I love listening to the podcast. Zach and his guests are incredibly passionate about the show and have extensive knowledge. You folks bring levity to the show, and it's a real fun listen. Thanks for putting so much time and effort into the podcast. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait to get caught up on the rest of the episodes. Well, thanks, Chris. I agree. I think we are incredibly passionate, and I think we do have extensive knowledge. So these are reviews. You know, they're trying to be. You know, guys are laughing. You know, I really do appreciate it. All jokes aside, all ego trips aside, I really do appreciate the kind words you guys are sharing in these reviews. It really means a lot.
Yeah, no, we know. It's good to hear, and it's good to see. Cool. All right, so the next thing that we have here is an email from Frank Hogan. Title here is Jinx, Clark's Powers. Hey, guys. You guys seem to question if Clark's powers would help him play football really well, more specifically the position of quarterback, and I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in. People forget that the solar radiation does more than just make him stronger and faster. Nearly everything about him is beyond the limits of human capability. This includes, at the very least, his mental faculties, agility, and hand-eye coordination. While his training did help, his natural capabilities put him on a huge learning curve. Clark is definitely fast enough to run on water and probably has been for a while. He just never tried. So it seemed like something that was beyond his reach. This is why the slow-mo scene at the end, which they will continue to use in Smallville footage from this episode forward, is definitely warranted because he wouldn't have to be as fast as Bart to do something like that. Clark could vibrate through walls if he wanted to, but it's so much easier for him to just break them down. Oh, yeah, I agree with you that Clark shouldn't play football, but I totally understand why he would want to play. Thanks for listening to my rant. I get what you're saying about the speed. That's for sure. Yeah, he should not play football. His training did help, but like the fact that he has all these powers and the fact that the solar radiation heightens everything that he does makes it that much more unfair for him to be playing compared to everybody else. It's just not fair, period. Like he is so much more capable and able to do that position in particular, well, so much better than everybody else that it's not right for him to be doing it.
Yeah, and I've been pretty rough on the Clark plays football thing in season four. You know, it did have its enjoyable moments, you know, especially in Transference more than anything else. You're my coach. But I think they addressed it perfectly in season one, the same way they addressed it in Superman the movie. Like, it's like, hey, you're not meant to do this. And in season one, he at least tried it, and he's like, okay, that wasn't for me. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he did. It's not like he never tried before he tried it. He learned that, okay, this is not for me, and they moved on from it. And then to bring it back 3 years later just because they had nothing, let's make it more normal in season four. I'm like, no, Clark Kent is not normal.
Senior year, man.
Yeah, senior. Yeah. So anyway,
I always start saying whenever I hear the word senior, I go seniors, and I'm like, wait, no one understands the reference anywhere around me.
He plays the C net, and he likes cornbread.
Oh man, high school. Huh. All right, so we got another letter here from Tyler. Hola. Tyler says, hola again. I've been really catching up on older podcasts, and I'm finding the reviews you and your guests do is very interesting. I said before that I came to the show as a non-superhero fan, so I find all the things you guys mention and talk about as new material. I'm just starting season 3, which is my favorite season of the show. However, after listening to the way you break down the episodes, characters, plot, and everything else may change how I feel about it in general. When I ranked every episode more than 2 years ago, I generally went off my initial feeling about each episode, how well I remembered it, whether if it was really, especially was fun or interesting, etc. But the way you talk about so many different things might make me have to revisit my ranking at some point. I already see a different side to why you like certain episodes I did not, and I'm going to pay special attention to season 4 once I get there because you rank it as one of the worst seasons while I rank it as one of the best. I can already understand where you're coming from, and I'm just very excited to hear people talk about the show since it got to be in my top 3 favorite shows of all time. I even got on Amazon, bought the Smallville official companions for seasons 3 and 4, my 2 favorite seasons, because you talk about the books all the time.
Available wherever books are sold. All right, see, there you go. People are catching on.
Amazon, you hear that? We're giving you plugs. Thanks for a fun podcast that helps the work day go a little faster, Tyler.
All right, well, thanks, Tyler. And hopefully I didn't ruin season 3 for you. I think actually rewatching it as of right now, season 3 probably is my favorite season. Season 1, 2, and 3 are always going to be like on the first tier for me. Season 1 is so nostalgic and, you know, as I often say, it is the premise of the show correctly. It's like Clark Kent growing up in Smallville. Like, no other season captures that more than season 1. But season 3, start to finish, is probably the best, most complete arc of a season. And the only other season I really can compare it to is season 9 on that front. So we're right there with you. So now moving on to next email from Jason Brunell. Movie plot is an episode, Obscura. Greetings and solicitations from a fellow Houstonian and fellow high school French horn player and Superman fan. What's up, Jason? I wanted to write in to see if you wanted to retroactively change your movie plot as an episode tally board based on the fact that Smallville Season 1 episode Obscura has basically the same plot as the film Eyes of Laura Mars. Eyes of Laura Mars is a relatively obscure film considering it was... Did you get Obscura? Anyway. Obscure film considering it was directed by Irvin Kershner, director of Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, and also director of RoboCop 2, filmed here in Houston. And stars some fairly big-name actors, such as DC film alums Faye Dunaway and Tommy Lee Jones. Faye Dunaway playing the Witch and Supergirl, and Tommy Lee Jones playing Two-Face, and then later redeeming himself as Colonel Phillips in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And then Jason goes on to say, P.S., I discovered you were a Houstonian when you made reference to the River Oaks Theater. I've actually been the general manager there for the last 9 years. My memory is you referenced it twice, once because of the old movie theater posters at the Talon, reminds you of River Oaks, and once more to complain about how often we play The Room. So yes, so funny story about Jason, and Jason, we've had some email correspondence since then. I just want to get your email again here on the podcast, but we actually ran into Jason at a screening of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, What We Left Behind, the documentary. So Lance was there with me. Why don't you tell me how that went down, Lance?
So we were going up to the concession stand, and then all of a sudden, like, I hear, like, somebody's like, Zach, and, like, calling his name, and he's like, you're Zach, and Zach's like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, from Always Old in Smallville, and I'm like, in my mind going, what is going on here? And then, of course, he's just like, oh, and you must be Lance, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then that's when we found out who he was after that.
Yeah, so nice to meet you in person, Jason. You guys are doing great work over there at the River Oaks Theater. Keep it up. And they recently showed Superman the movie at midnight not too long ago and all such things. So lots of good stuff over there in Houston. And I think I already did retroactively add that. I don't recall off the top of my head. So I guess what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go look at the numbers. And if I hadn't, I will add it before season five starts because what I do is I usually go and look at trailers of these movies. If I'm not familiar with them, I'm like, okay, that counts. And it's something like seeing through the eyes of somebody else. And that's basically what Obscura is. So thanks for that, Jason. Thanks for reaching out. And I'm glad we got to cross paths at the Deep Space Nine documentary and hope to see you again at the River Oaks Theater coming up, man.
Absolutely. All right. Our next email is from Corey Moore. What's up, Corey? He's talking about Unsafe. Hi, Zach. My dude, that was a great discussion about the Unsafe episode. Having Lance as a guest is always great. Thank you. But to have Victoria on also was perfect. Victoria's great. Victoria's thirst for Tom Welling is fun to listen to. She makes me laugh. But I do have a daughter who's almost 10 years old. When do I start watching Smallville with her? If ever. I don't know if I want her getting thirsty for Tom Welling until she's like 30. That's funny. He goes on. Alicia is a meteor freak favorite. If Sarah Carter ever participates in some Smallville conventions, I'd have to go just to see how she and Tom Welling act around each other. Well, if Sarah Carter goes to any conventions, you will bet your bottom dollar I will be there because I love Alicia Baker. Let's see more here. He says, your discussion about the songs and Victoria talking about the fashion was right on point. And when you and Lance started talking about MVP baseball, I almost drove off the side of the road. Awesome. I love that game. My friends and I would play that on the PS2 and create players all the time. My favorite player I created was named Cracklebutt, a catcher who had 100 rating in everything, fielding, arm strength, hitting, power, etc. He was legendary. I was right there with you on the MLB song and it being on Smallville. I got a funny little feeling. Unsafe totally had some hot and thirsty moments in a good way. And the Alicia and Clark moments were tremendous. My favorite scene was at the ice skating rink, especially when Clark heated up the hot chocolate. I really enjoy when the show lets Clark use his powers. For example, when he uses heat vision to toast some bread. That's what someone with superpowers would do. Love it. I have to say, this was my favorite podcast review from Always Hold On to Smallville. Great job. And yes, even better than the Spell review. I gave Unsafe an A grade. I thought for a moment you were going to rate another season 4 episode higher than me. But no, be careful. You're starting to like season 4 quite a bit. Up, up, and away.
All right, guys. Well, we're closing in about an hour here. So I think this would be a perfect opportunity to put a pin in it. So this will be... So what should I call this Mailbag 4 Part 1? Or should I call the next one Mailbag 5? What do you think, Nate?
This should be part 1, yeah, because it's season 4.
Mailbag 4.1.
Yeah, we're going to call it part 1.
or we call it Dawn of Justice.
Yes. Justice League Part 1 is the name of this podcast. Did you guys see that Twitter with the yeah, Target? What is wrong with Target? Like just because DC released a slate of movies 3 years ago that said Justice League Part 1 was the name of the movie. I don't know if you guys have seen this on Twitter, but somebody said this is the saddest thing I've ever seen. And they're in Target, and I can tell it's Target by the signs. And Justice League is there on Blu-ray, and the tag on the shelf says Justice League Part 1. It's like, what alternate universe is this from? But anyway, yeah, so we're going to put a pin in it here, and we'll be back next week with the second half of Mailbag Part 4. This is like the Rambo series. First Blood, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Rambo 3. It's just, that makes no sense. Again, thank you guys for our emails, and we'll be back next week with part 2 of Mailbag 4. So before we sign off, guys, where can we find you out there online?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter at Nick Ryan.
And as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Moron Zach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcasting network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. We talk about all things old and new Captain Kirk in the Enterprise over there. As for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Holland to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again, with one S. All right, that's going to do it for us this time for our mailbag part one of mailbag four. And we'll be back next week for mailbag four part two. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.